The recent tornado outbreak has devastated so many people in the Midwest and the South. 8 Days of Hope is ready to deploy their rapid response ministry to Cave City, Arkansas and Tylertown, Mississippi from March 20th to April 5th in order to help those impacted restore what's been destroyed. If you're 18 or older, you can help. Visit 8daysofhope.com to find out how you can volunteer. This is an urgent need. Visit 8daysofhope.com today.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, April the 2nd, 2025. So if anybody plays a joke on you today, they're a day late. And tell them they're a dollar short.
There you go.
Where'd that expression come from?
I don't know.
A day late and a dollar short. We've all heard it.
Yeah.
I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. Still wearing the state shirt, but... For those
what
that
now?
Keep up with Mississippi, those that keep up with college sports, there's a thing called baseball.
Right, college baseball. You're a big college baseball fan.
And my team is continually underperforming, and then they underperform worse than the week before. And then they play a worse team than the week before, and then play worse than that.
I have scheduled you with a counselor.
Thank you.
Okay, so we can talk about this later.
We didn't talk about this later.
America cares about
that. They don't, but for those five people out there watching and that see my state shirt, I have not lost my mind.
That's right.
I'm committed.
Those watching on YouTube, Wesley's wearing his alma mater's colors and shirt, Mississippi State.
And to go along with me,
Chris Woodward.
Yes,
we do hire other people. We hire a lot of. Well, there's a lot of Ole Miss people here.
So there are.
We're an equal opportunity.
I wouldn't say
a
lot. I'm a Notre Dame fan.
We don't discriminate
based on
your school.
Chris has his own too, so I figured that would be a good segue.
Yeah, I often imagine God giggled in the 90s when I, under my own free will, found teams to root for because God knows all, and God knew then that I would root for a lot of
teams.
You've
never had a consistent winner in your life, had you, Chris?
I'm just going to make a theological correction
here, and
God does not giggle, sir. All right?
Yeah,
I'm with Ed, Chris, and I'm going to step away from you.
There is a plan. Right, I have heard of the phrase before. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. Laugh, I can go. I can travel down that road with you.
Right. Yeah. But giggle?
God doesn't
giggle.
No.
Where in the Bible does it say God giggled?
Exactly.
And God giggled. All right. Thank you. Talk about
splitting hairs, giggling and laughing.
That's exactly what happens when you leave sound doctrine. You can't even see the difference between a laugh and a giggle.
Okay.
Do you giggle?
I do.
All right. You do?
Yeah.
I think this show needs a reset right here. We need to start
over. I'll bring it down with tariffs here in a minute.
All right. A lot to talk about today. Jenna Ellis will be with us a little bit later in the program.
She'll bring some seriousness.
She will. And she told us that she has to be off by 10:45. She got some kind of appointment that's more important than our show.
Yes.
Which I found very disappointing. Mm. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Again, thank you for listening to American Family Radio. And what else was I going to mention? Real quickly. We have our summer tours are almost slap full, and they're not.
You just
full.
Like using slaps.
Slap.
Trump started
almost slap full. So, but we do have. I guess we got just a handful of seats on our Williamsburg and DC June tours. I'm talking like under 10 seats remaining.
Wow.
Yeah, but we do have some space available, although it's going fast for our September tours. And including the October tour of Boston. Boston and the greater Boston area and all the history there. We're going to see it with a bunch of our supporters, and that's in October. So if you're interested in the Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown trip and or the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour in September that were going on, or the October Boston trip, which we have a few seats left for that one. Here's how you go and read the itinerary, the cost, and everything about them. Just go to wildmongroup.com. WILDMON group.com. If you go to WILDMAN, you're in the wrong place. And Wesley said, if you go there, you're going to what? End up what?
At some business.
Some business. And we're not.
It's an LLC or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, ours is WILDMON group.com. What's our first story, Chris?
Well, I want to bring people's attention to our website, AFN.net, where on the front page you can find information about what went down yesterday or last night in...
What went down, Chris?
Florida. Two Republicans, Jimmy Patronis and Randy Fine, won special elections yesterday in two Florida congressional districts. These were seats that were vacated by Representative Matt Gaetz when he resigned as a member of Congress to try to become the attorney general, obviously we know what happened there. The other seat was held once by Michael Waltz. He's now the national security advisor under President Trump. So they had to have special elections, and these seats, long story short, are remaining in Republican hands, which is what Republicans wanted. An interesting angle here is that Democrats spent a ton of money to try to get one or both of these seats, but obviously that didn't work. So the GOP is going to retain its majority with these two members coming to Congress here in the next few days.
Okay.
And Jenna is going to talk about the okay. elections.
Yes. Okay. Now, in other related news, we had Sandy Rios on to discuss the Wisconsin Supreme Court yesterday. That Wisconsin Supreme Court race ended with the lady that Sandy described yesterday as a radical leftist feminist, Susan Crawford. She won that election over the Republican that billionaire Elon Musk and others were trying to get elected there in Wisconsin. This cements a liberal majority there in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and many people are concerned that they're going to rule in favor of things like redistricting, possibly taking away some seats held by Republicans. They will rule in favor of abortion, anything involving unions, that kind of stuff. One positive note that did come out of Wisconsin was that voters did approve a voter ID requirement. So it's kind of a mixed bag there in the state of Wisconsin.
I was thinking about that this morning. I'm not sure exactly how to read it. Does that mean that that Democrats also agree with voting election?
Yeah.
It's safe to say that at least some Democrats are in favor of you having to show ID.
Well, it only makes sense. I'm glad they're doing that.
And it was not even, I mean, it wasn't even close. The measure was backed by 63% of voters.
But the reason I ask is because the alternative would be Republicans just only showed up to vote just for that one ballot. And that I don't see that.
What you're saying is it kind of doesn't make sense because the same people evidently who voted for a lefty Supreme Court justice who would probably say, no, you don't need an ID to vote
right.
in our state. We're talking about these.
Or used to would have said that at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also voted for IDs, yeah. mm-hmm. A government issued IDs in order to be able to vote in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
So
I would just say, I would hope that would be a nonpartisan issue.
And I think that's
voter ID law. And maybe that's what we see in the result here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And to Wesley's point, maybe increasingly,
hopefully, yeah.
even Democrats are seeing you can't have people who aren't from around here,
yeah, sure.
who aren't citizens, mm-hmm. Helping to pass laws that affect citizens.
Yes.
Yep. With some of the DOGE findings of people that are getting paychecks that are dead.
We're going to talk about that more next hour.
Yep.
So what they found with Social Security is appalling.
Yep. And so finding things out like that, and we'll obviously elaborate on that more with Steve in the second hour. But that kind of stuff, I think, is having more common sense Democrats saying yes to this type of initiative.
I like your use of the word stuff there.
Stuff.
It was it was appropriately used.
It made me giggle. I do have a quote here from President Trump. He did weigh in on the voter ID approval there in Wisconsin. He said, quote, voter ID was just approved in Wisconsin election. Democrats fought hard against this, presumably so they can cheat. This is a big win for Republicans, maybe the biggest win of the night. And many of those things I just said were in all caps.
Tell us how you really feel.
Right. Yeah. That's from the president himself.
One thing about President Trump.
Well, there was.
You usually get it raw and unedited.
There was a lot of money, out of state money.
Yeah. Poured into?
Poured into the Wisconsin race. I'm not sure about the Florida race, but some of that, the race is. Some of that money going into Wisconsin was from Elon Musk.
Yes.
$20 million.
Yeah. And CNN, MSNBC, the liberals that have their own news outlets are trying to make this proof that people are rejecting what they're calling the Trump-Musk agenda. They don't want billionaire Elon Musk involved in our elections, although they never say anything about George Soros.
Well, we sure do.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. And for those podcasts, go to AFR.net.
I have moles in my yard. Mm-hmm. I blame that on George Soros. I blame just about everything on George Soros.
Yeah.
You know, this makes
a lot
sense.
Of fire ants.
Fair. Yeah, this makes sense.
Fire ants.
George Soros.
Next story, Chris.
Kudzu.
We need to move on to the next story.
This could very well have been the lead story had we not had those election results that I just mentioned here.
Uh-huh.
Today is the day in which tariffs on foreign-made automobiles go into effect, and President Trump also...
What's he call this day, Chris?
Liberation Day.
Today.
And he's calling it Liberation Day.
Not Liberace Day.
Right, yeah.
That's another day altogether. Coming up.
That's when everybody gathers together to dress flashy and play pianos.
Yeah, middle of May.
Now,
we'll let you know.
He's calling it Liberation Day because this is the day in which he is slapping reciprocal tariffs on countries. These are different from the auto tariffs. I can explain all this if you want.
No, we won't.
I'm happy to
say this is going to be a long show.
This is why I didn't lead with it.
Good luck.
Now, at this point, with all the jokes off the radio about tariffs, if you just say the word, I can't keep a straight face. So just exclude me from this conversation, and I'll just listen.
Yeah. This is one of those issues, things where I think it's safe to say neither us nor our listening audience has a clue.
Yes.
About the topic at hand.
Well,
maybe an opinion, but we don't really know what we're talking about, but we have to pretend.
Yes.
Somewhat that we do, right, Ed?
I pretend.
But you read up on them, hadn't you?
I listened.
So but Chris just said he's going to explain them to us.
Please do, Chris.
So Chris, the floor is yours.
I have a BA in communication from an agricultural and mechanical university. I'm well-versed on issues like tariffs.
Communicate, brother.
Yes.
Go.
All right.
Go.
So I do have some audio here from an economist by the name of Richard Stern.
Oh, you're going to defer.
Yes. Well, I'm going to play this because he's going to set up what exactly is being tariffed today in the way of foreign-made automobiles.
Is tariffed like a verb?
Yes. Okay. Well, taxed, if you want to say
tariff.
As a synonym.
All right,
is Richard Stern, an economist at Heritage, explaining to us what autos are being tariffed today and how much. Clip three.
And that's going to be 25% on all foreign-made cars, and it's also going to be 25% on all car parts that are made abroad. Now, that's going to hit car parts that are both, you know, something you might buy to make a repair to your car, but it's also going to hit car parts that come into U.S. car manufacturers who do assembly work but don't make the entire thing from scratch in the U.S.
Now, a lot of people listening to this show live in parts of the country where there are foreign companies that make automobiles here in the U.S. Mississippi is no stranger to this. We have a Toyota plant not too far from us. We've got Nissan down in Jackson. Over in the great state of Alabama, you've got Mercedes, Honda, Hyundai, those kinds of things. As Richard explained to me, he does not think that the auto tariffs are going to impact foreign-made automobiles here in the U.S. because those are being made in the U.S. by American workers with American-made parts. All that to say, if you are in the market for a vehicle, you need to shop around and you need to not shy away from asking questions of the dealers, because we've also heard from people, our sources at AFN, that have told us that some dealerships are going to be raising the prices on cars, saying it's because of the tariffs.
All right. If I can try to be serious here about this.
Right.
Because try.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do it.
I can do it. Okay. I'm going to try to be serious about this for a minute. Okay. So, this is a situation, I'm talking about President Trump's tariffs. Today's Liberation Day, he says, where two things can be true at once. All right. So I have heard President Trump, and I have read about this, but I've heard President Trump make the case for why he believes in these tariffs, because he would argue that these other countries that he is instituting, if you can institute, leveling these tariffs at, well, really it's the world, but with respect to the automobile manufacturers, automobile companies, they have tariffs on us in these other countries, and we don't have them on them. They have tariffs on our exports, but we don't have tariffs on their imports. So it's an unfair, it's an imbalance in with respect to. So I think everybody can pretty well understand that argument, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Follow.
Now here's the second part of that, which people who are against tariffs would argue is also true. They may even concede that President Trump is right on his analysis. However, that doesn't mean that it's going to cause the prices of a lot of products and automobiles, for example, that are not wholly made in the United States, to go way up. And that's going to cause the prices, as this gentleman said here, on parts of automobiles also that are needed to build it, to go way up, which causes ultimately the price of cars and other things to go up in our country substantially.
Can I just give a little personal experience here?
Okay.
You're going to share?
I'm going to share.
Okay.
About a personal experience.
Okay, please do.
That I think would apply to this issue of car parts. So I drive a Volkswagen. For the most part, I think the parts to repair it come from overseas, come from Europe. Mm-hmm. Okay, the reason I think that is still true is that in 2021, as we were still having a lot of the issues related to COVID, somebody I know backed into my car. And
your Volkswagen?
My Volkswagen, and dented the door. It was not my wife.
Okay.
It was a family member.
Okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right. So.
No names.
Not mentioning any names.
Okay.
It was my daughter.
Okay, but don't mention her name.
But I'm not mentioning her name.
Okay.
So rather than try to file that, I didn't want my insurance going. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to pay for it. So I go to the Volkswagen guy, and I said, okay, I want to replace the door. He's okay. This is going to cost you an arm and a leg. He said, and guess what? We can't get it for 3 months.
Ooh.
Because it has to come from the place where we get those parts over in whatever, Belgium or something like that. So for there are people who the vehicles they own, those parts come from overseas. Now, some of the parts probably are being made in the United States, but Volkswagen parts, I know, were coming from Europe. So for those people, here's why I'm nervous about the tariffs. I trust the president. He's a businessman. This is probably the best way forward. Okay, so I trust the president on this. Second of all you countries that have been taking advantage of us all this time, and you knew it, well, guess what? The chickens have come home to roost, and now it's Liberation Day, okay?
So they're American chickens.
And they're American chickens, and they're going to roost right on top of your heads.
Yes.
Okay? But I am nervous because in the short term, the president says all these jobs are coming back to the United States. Well, you know what? This is not like a Dollar General where they just pop up like a fire ant bed.
It's our new
yard overnight. Okay, you can't create a Volkswagen plant that produces Volkswagen parts overnight. It can take 2 or 3 years. So I am nervous about the short term over the next couple of years effect of these tariffs on our economy and therefore the effect on the midterm elections.
Now, what may or may not bring calm to this situation is something that's going to be happening this afternoon. And I say that because at 3:00 Central, President Donald Trump will deliver remarks on the new tariffs, to which he is expected to lay out his reasonings as to why we're doing this. We may have clips from this tomorrow, and I would be shocked if we don't have some sort of response from another country.
And let me just interject this here for just a second. I know Wesley's been trying to jump in here. And last year, the U.S. trade deficit was $1.2 trillion. That means other countries were getting the best of us in the trade relationships we had with them to the tune of over $1 trillion.
What I was going to ask is if you could take your explanation and then put it in a 4D chess version.
Yes.
No, in all seriousness, there have been things in the past where up front, President Trump and his team does something, and you go, that doesn't, I don't know why. And then you look up and something good's come out, the art of the deal type thing. So I just wonder if this is not, at minimum, even if he changes his mind down the road or whatever before the, I wonder at minimum, is this to make a point that we're being unequally tariffed from other countries, at minimum, making that aware to the American people, because I didn't know about that. Maybe I should have.
I didn't pay
attention to that. I didn't. So for me, I'm caught up now. Anytime tariffs come up, I'm caught up figuring out what other countries are doing to us to see is it equal, is it fair. And so that's something that I would, that wasn't a train of thought that I had.
Yeah.
Right.
And so.
Well, again.
I understand.
You can argue that the tariffs are unfair, the trade imbalance that you're talking about. But that still, there still are economic ramifications for upsetting the apple cart, so to speak, or upsetting the status quo in the name of nationalism or in the name of economic you know, fairness, whatever you want to say. So it's President Trump he's staking everything on this. So he better hope he's right. and we better hope he's right. Those of us who believe in his agenda, you know, the vast majority of his agenda that I'm aware of, I'm supportive of, because if it doesn't work and it backfires and the people in the country are going to vote against him in the midterms, that's how it goes.
It's all
politics.
Everything about the MAGA movement and the Trump agenda is, for better or for worse, riding on this.
It is.
Okay, because we are seeing the depths of the problems in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
We've been talking about what Doge has been uncovering, the massive deficits, all this kind of stuff. We've been seeing this since Trump came into office, and all of that would stop if the midterms flip the House and or the Senate, and then a Democrat gets back in office in 2028. So what I'm saying is it's all tethered to that tariff strategy.
Yes, and furthermore, President Trump is not only doing this, and he's going to give a speech about this afternoon. That's good to know. I think he needed to do that.
From him.
A formal speech, not off the cuff.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So let me finish this, and then you can
I'm so sorry.
Okay. Okay. So President Trump not only believes this is fair and right for our country, he also believes that this is going to make us a boatload of money, and it's going to. He's mentioned before, we're going to have so much money coming in, we don't know what to do with it,
right?
Because of these tariffs. That's what he believes. I've heard him talk about it before. So we'll see what he says this afternoon. It'll very much be worth. I'm glad he's going to give it in a formal setting. Where is it going to be? Do you know anything about it?
It's going to be outside the White House.
Okay, go with your eye.
I agree with – I apologize that I interrupted you.
That's okay, no.
I would like for him to explain it to me like I'm five, how the American people benefit from this.
I think he will. He'll explain it to like you're a five-year-old, Chris.
I had great hair back then, too.
All right, so – we're going to take a short time out right here. We'll be back. Jenna Ellis will be, you talk about a tariff expert right here. Jenna Ellis is going to bring it when we get back from the break. Stay with us.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
The air conditioner in the church building broke down. The fan in the unit was still working, but the unit wasn't cooling. I called the man who had installed the unit, and he came to fix it. Checking it out, he discovered that the gas had leaked from the unit, causing the trouble. The unit was checked out very close in an effort to find the leak. However, no damage in the unit or the pipes could be found. So the fellow who came to repair the unit put gas into it, and the unit began cooling at maximum efficiency again. You know, that unit worked good for about 3 weeks. Then one day I noticed that it wasn't cooling. The fan was just blowing out hot air. So I called the fellow a second time and told him what had happened. He came back, checked, and found that the gas had escaped again. This time he started hunting for the hole where the gas was leaking with more determination. I guess he searched for about 4 hours for that hole. He ran a check on all the lines, dug holes in the ground, searching around the pipe, even ripped off the protective covering from the pipe, but all in vain. No sign of any place where the gas was escaping. He took out a container of gas, hooked it up to the unit, and began to fill the pipes again. The unit began cooling. He knew it was a leak, but he couldn't find it. The fella applied the pressure to the unit. He ran the pressure to nearly twice what it should be. He was putting a terrific strain on the equipment. Finally, with the pressure greatly increased, he found the hole. It was so tiny that even a straight pin could not fit in it. It was such a tiny hole. But it was responsible for the failure of the unit. It did just as much damage as a hole 10 times its size. It just took a little longer. A fellow once asked me if there were degrees of sin. That is one sin worse than another? You see, this fellow was guilty of what we commonly call a little sin. It was no major thing, and most people simply ignored it. He was, in effect, pointing his finger at those who committed more serious sins. He was hoping, of course, to excuse his minor sin. Well, there is degree in sin. Not all sin is as great as other sin. Stealing a dime could hardly be classified as serious as killing a neighbor. So in one way of thinking, the fellow who asked the question was correct. His sin wasn't as great as that of some others. Now back to that air conditioner. It wasn't the size of the hole which caused the damage. It was the hole. So it is with sin. It's not the size of the sin which separates us from God. It is the sin. The results of a little sin and a great sin, the results are the same. A hole is a hole, and a sin is a sin. That means, of course, that those who commit little sins need forgiveness as much as those who commit great sins. So instead of pointing your finger, you better bow your head.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Matthew 19:14.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to this edition of Tariff Talk on American Family Radio. We're here every day to bore you out of your mind for at least an hour and a half.
So, at least the world of tariffs.
The world of tariffs. Ed, could you read chapter 4 from
Thomas Sowell's?
And please stick to Sowell's, the script. No ad lib. We just want it right from the script.
Right
from the script.
You want to interpret that for our friends north of the Mason-Dixon line?
R-I-G-H-T.
All right, so you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Chris. And Jenna joins us now. Jenna Ellis, host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio. Heard weekdays from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And host of the On Demand podcast found at AFR.net, where Jenna interviews people and goes into does deep dives on various and sundry topics that you will be interested in. It's called On Demand with Jenna Ellis. It's a podcast, and it goes out weekly. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. And I, too, bored my listeners this morning talking about tariffs. So it seems
I wasn't bored. It was pretty
interesting. Ed's, yeah. I listened for 20 minutes. Ed, you get about 25 or 30 minutes of in the morning, don't you?
I do. It's very taxing to cover tariffs.
I will actually listen getting ready and on the way to work.
So what did you appreciate about Jenna's show this morning, Ed?
Well, she did have someone on talking about, she had Pastor Jack Hibbs on talking about the death penalty. Mm-hmm. And then she had a guest on, I don't remember his name, but talking
Representative
about.
Representative Stutzman.
That's it, right there. Yes. Talking about tariffs and.
Hey, but first of all, before we get in, what do you got? 10 minutes? When do you have to leave?
Yes, 10 minutes. Because unfortunately, I have an appointment after this. I didn't realize we were having tariff talk. You know, then I wouldn't have scheduled something right after.
I don't
after
know
this.
What can be more important, right? Tariff talk, but whatever it is, we'll just trust you on that. So, two victories for Republicans in Florida last night.
Yes, we secured the Republican seats in Florida that they did not flip after Matt Gaetz had resigned from his congressional seat in Florida's 1st District. And then Michael Waltz, of course, is the NSA director, and so vacated his seat. And both of those were won by the Republican candidates. But what was interesting about it, from my perspective, is that these were a lot closer elections than those districts in 2024 for Trump. And when we also compare Wisconsin, and that Trump won that swing state in 2024, and then the Supreme Court seat actually went to the leftist, even though voter ID did pass by an overwhelming margin, it's interesting to see that even the Trump endorsements don't carry the same weight as the man himself. And so I think heading into the midterms, that's really going to need to be the focus for conservative candidates in particular, that they can't just say, well, Trump won this district by 30 points, so we'll be fine nominating whoever. Because in the state of Florida, particularly in the 6th district, Floridians widely across the state were not fans of this particular candidate. They came out, voted for him anyway. But in my personal opinion, we could have had a much stronger conservative running to replace Waltz.
Mm-hmm. Well, for now, I hear you, by the way, and we'll see what happens 2 years from now, or when the next election, be a year and
next
a half
year.
From now, year and a half from now. But it was important that for the Republicans, it was important that they maintain those two seats so they could keep the majority, because it's only like a five or six vote, difference between Republicans and Democrats in the House of Representatives. President Trump is going to give a speech this afternoon explaining tariffs and his belief in them to all of us. And it's going to be a formal speech, and he needs to do that because stock market's going up and down and up and down, mostly down, because they say President Trump's economic, policies, especially the
tariffs. It is destabilizing because nobody knows how this is going to play out in terms of whether President Trump can get deals with other countries.
Yeah, what do you comment on all this, if you would, Jenna?
Right. Well, and I had Tho Bishop, who's one of my favorite guests as an economist from the Mises Institute, on last week, and his perspective, which I think is wise, is that when we're looking at the markets, and they do, as Ed just mentioned, require stability, and when Trump is basically testing foreign leaders, now the market has to rely upon an unknown of how will a foreign leader react. And so that's why you get some of that volatility. But the White House just released an email from their Office of Communications, and I'm on that press list. And it says tariffs work, and President Trump's first term proves it. For the first time in decades, the United States will see fair trade as President Trump announces tariffs to level the playing field for American workers and businesses. So I think he's playing a little bit of the long game here, because he's trying to say, well, wait a minute, if we have had, and to echo what Representative Stutzman said this morning on my show, if we have had a tariff or even a ban on some exports from the United States, like his example was Wagyu beef to Australia, and we have a ban on that, but then we don't tariff any of the imports from Australia on our meats, then that's unfair, and we're not encouraging and incentivizing anything from our farmers. And when we look at even like the auto industry and the emphasis that Trump had on the USMCA that replaced NAFTA in his first term, all of the reasons and rationale that he wanted to bring manufacturing from overseas back domestically, a lot of tariffs, the incentive there is to get companies to say, well, wait a minute, we're not going to do the cheaper labor and manufacturing overseas and then bring those things into America because of the tariff costs. We need to then just locate our manufacturing in the US. So I think there is some long-term strategy here and benefit. And I think overall for people listening, tariff doesn't necessarily make sense. It's not as easily understood as maybe like a sales tax or tax on good that we deal with every day. And so it's a little bit of an esoteric concept. But I personally, just because of the way that Trump did get a lot of the auto industry more in shape, brought manufacturing back to Michigan, some of those things, and then also the USMCA is way better for trade relations between Canada and Mexico from his first term, I'm willing to give him the benefit of playing the long game and saying, okay, let's trust him on this tariff policy and then kind of take the wait and see approach, not just react with volatility like the market.
Jenna, let me just ask you this. I think that the tariffs go along with President Trump's overall America First agenda. And the reason I say this, and I want your take on it, is that it seems to me that the process, that what you just described and what Representative Stutzman described, was a globalist free trade system that the globalists said, okay, the U.S. is going to drive the benefit of the trade system we have in place by buying cheaper goods, for let's say, from China, even if it costs U.S. manufacturing and costs U.S. jobs, because it's good for China and therefore it's good for the world markets, for the U.S. to basically subsidize everyone else's industries. And what President Trump seems to have said is, well, we're not doing that anymore. We are not going to think about what benefits the global trade system. We're going to look at what benefits us, and that means we're going to manufacture our own stuff and give that an advantage. Do you think that the way trade was done before Trump was a globalist ideal, and the globalists loved it? Because it cost us, we were funding it?
Well, I think this is keeping right in line with Trump's America First policies. And it doesn't make sense if you look at just the economic view of incentivizing Americans and what's best for us to be concerned about global trade in general. We don't want to benefit other nations at expense of ourselves in terms of these types of economic offsets. So I think that rationale makes sense. It's consistent with President Trump's America First agenda. It's consistent with the mandate that voters gave to him. And to recontemplate some of these things, I mean, it's the same rationale as Doge, where it's like we've been spending billions of dollars on all of these line items, and nobody has thought, even Republicans over the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, to say, well, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't. And so Trump actually recontemplating some of these deals and renegotiating them, I think, really is in line with America First, and we should be championing that as conservatives.
That answer your question, Ed?
It does.
Okay. All right, Jenna, we now formally release you until your appointment.
I appreciate that so much. This has been Jenna Ellis on Tariff Talks. I look forward to joining you next week. Yes. Dark side of the moon there. But thanks, right. guys. I always appreciate talking to you.
See you next time. All right. That's Jenna Ellis joining us from the Sunshine State.
You know, we could, for this show, have little gags that we have. Like, we could do Tariff Talk and have some sort of little music that comes on.
Some
you know?
Why don't you get us some Tariff Talk? Tariff Talk music together.
I mean, our production teams, they got nothing going on.
Okay.
But we it's time now for Tariff Talk.
I tell you what we need
we
to
have
do.
A little music.
Yes, and we can have emails sent in from our listeners, just one sentence or two sentences in there. Yeah. Their thoughts on tariffs. What do you think? We read them.
That's what I was gonna say. Only if we take the time to read them, just to
we
add
need
on.
To read them, but we need just to read them as they are.
That's what's
enough because they're gonna be heartfelt.
No commentary, no ad lib. Just right.
No,
off.
Read the comments on tariff.
Dave talk. In Minneapolis, Minnesota.
She says,
"I have been sitting on a 12-part series on ethanol that I keep." Meaning to air, and every time I do, Trump does something, and then nobody cares.
A 12-part series on ethanol.
Man, it's deep, let me tell you.
Oh, welcome today to Ethanol
Talk.
Ethanol Talk.
Chris Woodbridge.
And then we'll just have our own little music for
history
ethanol.
History of ethanol goes back to the 18th century.
Yes.
We're going to fuel
We're Native Americans.
We're going to fuel
In Missapequa.
I will say this. So this August will be 15
You will
years.
Say this?
Yes.
You will say this.
I've been here almost 15 years. And many years ago, a member of Congress had a bill that would change ethanol policy. And I got so many comments from that representative and people that were in favor of ethanol. I did it as like a 2 or 3 part series. Mm-hmm. And people heard like one part but didn't realize it was part of a series, even though we advertised it that way. And a lot of people from the great state of Iowa were calling here and giving me the business because they thought I was some anti-ethanol reporter trying to, you know, usurp whatever.
Hurt their corn business.
So it is a very, there are a lot of people in these United States of America that do care very deeply about
ethanol. It's a very sensitive topic.
Man, it was. It was. It was so bad that I told Fred, I was like,
I'll tell you what, I've decided, Chris, you convinced me. You convinced me. I'm going to skip the Final Four. This weekend, I don't care about those silly college basketball games.
You send him the ethanol.
I want to listen to your ethanol report that you've been sitting on.
It'll be the greatest thing you've ever heard me report on ethanol.
All right, well let's
That's
do it.
That's not exactly a high bar, Chris. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, so anyway,
that was ugly.
Yeah. Okay,
you do a great job.
It's what I'm here for.
We mock what we don't understand, don't we? And so with tariffs, we will wait and hear what the president has to say this afternoon. Seriously, a lot of what President Trump wants to do hinges on the success of his decisions he's making on tariffs. Now he's got some kind of fight in the Senate coming up that I was reading about on Fox News. You want me to just read a couple paragraphs here? And I don't know any more than what I'm reading here, but I can understand this much. It says, this is the lead story on Fox News. Of course, we want people to go to American Family News.
Right. I'll share
that's,
the link.
That's our website. But it says this, President Donald Trump called out Senators Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul of Kentucky, Susan Collins of Maine, and Linda Murkowski of Alaska in an effort to apply public pressure before the Senate votes on a measure to scuttle his Canadian tariff policy. So it says the joint resolution would terminate the national emergency Trump declared regarding illicit drugs in Canada. In his executive order, Trump called for slapping tariffs on America's northern neighbor.
So Trump is slapping the tariffs because he first declared a national emergency regarding drugs.
And Trump is mad at these four senators today because they are opposing him.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why. Now, Senator Mitch McConnell, I'm just guessing here. Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, they've been troublesome for years. Yep. They are, I don't know if they're considered moderate or even left of center, but the Republicans can get them on board for some things, but they go rogue, okay? So they dance, you know, to a different drum. Mitch McConnell,
I'm glad you didn't say about Elizabeth Warren. That'd have been inappropriate.
Oh, yes. No, I, of course.
You weren't talking about Elizabeth Warren.
No.
Dancing to the...
To beat of a drum.
No.
I would never do that.
Okay, I'm glad.
I would never do that. No, none of us would.
No.
None of us would.
Nobody even thinks that around here.
No. So I just wanted to clarify, because you are talking about senators.
Yes, because I would never have done that about...
Or thought it.
About
Matt. No,
don't
say it.
About... Yeah, okay. You're right.
Don't say it.
Because I almost slipped in it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Slipped into the river.
Back to your point.
Okay, so Senator Mitch McConnell has, since he's announced that he was no longer going to, I don't even know if he's running for re-election, is he? I know he's not going to be.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so he's kind of showing his true colors. He doesn't like Donald Trump, and I think the feeling's mutual. But Rand Paul.
It's kind of odd.
I'm wondering why he, now he is a, I consider Rand Paul to be a very principled individual.
Yeah.
So there must be some kind of technical principle involved here. Maybe he considers what President Trump did in declaring the national emergency in order to take over the tariff policy. Maybe he considers that an excuse of power.
Historically, Republicans have been against tariffs.
Yeah. Tariffs and taxes, they say.
They have. That's the – that Ronald Reagan just the Republican economic policies have not been favorable to tariffs. If this were flipped, there would be a lot of Republicans opposed to this, I think, in the Senate, because they don't like them. They think it causes prices to go up on everything, which we'll see. We'll see. But President Trump, you know, he and his candidacy, they changed a lot of went more populism.
Yes.
Than Republicanism.
Strict conservatism. Yeah.
So we'll see. So I don't know. Again, I don't know what's going to happen with this particular vote. If these four senators are going to vote with the Democrats to block the emergency, whatever it is, against Canada. I didn't know Canada was a big fentanyl country. That's what Trump says. They fentanyl's pouring
in. Massive. He said what's coming across from Canada is massive. What's coming across from Mexico is
Have you ever
massive.
Heard that before?
I heard it during the campaign.
Mexico, we all know we have a drug problem, drugs coming pouring through. Over from Mexico.
He mentioned it during the campaign. He was talking about Canada. But now,
hey.
Huh?
Hey.
He's talking about Canada.
Pouring in fentanyl, hey.
So I don't know. I have not looked up the numbers to see how much it has been confiscated coming across the Canadian border. Is Canada somehow lax? Is that the accusation, that Canada has been lax? Or perhaps it is that Canada has not been as diligent preventing illegal immigrants coming into Canada and then coming into the U.S. and therefore bringing fentanyl with them. I'm not sure exactly what the president has in mind.
What if it's not as a bit? I'm not going to say that. I guess I will say it.
Don't do it.
But I'm saying it. Don't know how I believe about my own statement right here. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it. Does that make sense? No.
Yes.
Okay. What I'm saying is, what if it's unprovable that fentanyl is pouring over the border from Canada into the U.S., but Trump is only using that as cover for his
tariffs,
wanting the tariffs? Could that be a possibility?
As we said earlier in the first segment, $1.2 trillion trade deficit for the U.S. That's a lot.
And you don't need cover.
And so I'm thinking you don't need cover. Yeah. And if it is cover, I would prefer the president just say, no, that's not the cover. However, he may only be able to slap the tariffs because he's declared a national emergency. Based on fentanyl. Not sure if that's what's been going on here.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Chris.
There was an interesting exchange yesterday between Representative Jasmine Crockett, a Democrat from Texas.
All right, people, you need to listen to this.
Yes. Jasmine Crockett was in a congressional hearing yesterday. Now, she's the Democrat from Texas that has made news for a lot of things here lately. But during this congressional hearing, Jasmine Crockett let it be known that Republicans are all out to impeach judges that don't like Trump and want to do this and that. And then Representative Daryl Issa had a comeback to what she had to say. So the audio is going to begin with Jasmine Crockett. It will finish with Congressman Issa. Clip 9.
The problem that we have right now is that if we continue down this road, then we will not have a rule of law, because we have people that are currently serving and they're saying things like, ignore the judge's order. What it means to have law and order in this country is that you follow the order and you go through the appeals process, even if you dislike what the judge did.
Now, I'm going to note that when Cortez, or AOC as we know her, filed articles of impeachment on Justice Thomas and Alito, Ms. Crockett was one of the co-sponsors, along with Mr. Cohen, both members of this committee. It does seem interesting that when the shoe is on the other foot, everyone is self-righteous. And I think this is a good example.
Representative Crockett there, well, she's making a name for herself, isn't she?
She sure is.
She's going to have her own variety show here before long, with her popularity growing and her notoriety.
I think that's all purposeful on her part.
Yeah, she's trying to compete with
AOC. I mean, she's doing a good job of getting her name out there, am I right?
Yeah.
But what she was saying there, we need an independent judiciary, and what the Republican ISA is saying is, oh, yeah, you're the one who voted to impeach Clarence Thomas and Thomas Alito, two Supreme Court justices.
And so, people who giggled.
She deserved the mockery there because she's talking out of both sides of her mouth with her votes and her actions. Listen, I've said it before. Hypocrisy knows no bounds when politicians.
It's bipartisan.
Yeah, Republicans can do it too. They can do it too. But mostly the hypocrisy is on the left. I will say that. All right, next.
I have another.
Do you want to say anything, Wesley, about this story, or you want to?
No.
Or does it speak for itself?
No, I want to get to another story with the time we got left.
Yes.
All right, what? Tell us. We'll skip
whatever one, he's got next.
One other soundbite that's been trending since yesterday afternoon. This is audio of a person claiming to be a fired HHS worker confronting Indiana Senator Jim Banks at an elevator. Clip 10.
Hi, I was a worker at HHS. I was fired illegally on February 14th. There are many people who are not getting social service programs, especially people with disabilities. Are you going to do anything to stop what's happening?
You probably deserved it.
I deserved it?
You probably deserved
it. I deserved it.
Dude, that's
wow.
Rude. That's sad.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Why did I deserve it?
Because you seem like a clown.
So at the end of this video, Banks steps into an elevator near the end of the exchange, and he says, "Because you seem like a clown," as the doors close. And that was the final word.
It was kind of a perfect moment. Listen. I'm not necessarily approving of what who was this? Was Congress
Senator Jim Banks?
Senator Jim Banks.
He ambushed him.
Yeah,
the guy did.
If you're going to ambush somebody and try to talk to him while he's walking to the elevator,
right?
You're gonna get it. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get.
People don't like that.
No,
they don't like to be ambushed.
Now I understand that he's not going to get this guy, whoever he was, following him around. He's not going to get a sit down with a U.S. senator. Mm-hmm. He probably needs to go through his own representatives and senators and try to get answers. But if you're walking up to someone, especially in the environment we have in this country, where nobody knows, do you have a weapon?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to walk up on somebody, by the way, I didn't see any Secret Service with the senator.
No.
But they don't have
Secret Service. Or any kind of security.
It's basically like...
He was inside the Capitol, though. Was he inside the Capitol building?
Yeah. There is a guy that's been... Representative Tim Burchett of Tennessee refers to this man as a stalker, but there is a guy claiming to be a reporter who every day meets Congressman Burchett as he's walking into the Capitol. This is outside, and he's always standing there with a cell phone ready, and he videos every exchange, and Burchett has gotten to where he starts, he's like poking fun at this guy, making fun of his wardrobe choices.
Because if the guy does this every day, my question is, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
Okay? Are you getting... Are you on welfare? And this is the way you're... Then if you've got that kind of energy, you need to get a job.
Right.
What the guy was saying there, he was a worker for Health and Human Services.
Claiming.
And people aren't getting their... But he said disabled people aren't getting their payments or their needs met because he was fired?
Because others have been fired.
Yes.
What he's talking about is the downsizing of the federal government by President Trump. Right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And he's making his case to Republican Senator Banks there in an ambush sort of setting.
He said he probably deserved it.
He probably deserved it.
Probably deserved it.
Now he's on the defense. Yeah. Why did he not deserve it?
Right. Yeah. Justify yourself.
Oh, wait. Elevator door.
Why
closed.
Do you say that? Because you act like a clown.
Huh? You seem like a clown.
You seem like a clown.
Mic drop.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.